Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I love the sound of people connecting. So good. Welcome to worship this morning. We're delighted that you are here with us. For those of you that are here in person and those of you that are worshiping with us online, we're glad you're here. I want to point out just a couple of things that are happening today and some of the logistics. We are having our Children and Youth Sunday rehearsal right after worship. So at 11:20, I'll grab kiddos from church school. Teens, I invite you to get yourself up to the play space, we call it, up on the third floor. We're going to have lunch together, and then we'll come and rehearse in this space. So right after worship, 11:20-ish, we'll do that together. Following fellowship time today, we have a discussion of Lament for a Son and other passages that help us explore and express grief. That will be led by Pastor Paul. That will happen in the Memorial Lounge, which is on the bottom level. You'll see it when you're down there for fellowship time. That starts around 11:30. I want to draw your attention to the fact that we have our program annual meeting next Sunday. So here at First Baptist, we have two annual meetings. In January, it's the financial one. In April, we celebrate our ministry together. And so we invite you to come next Sunday following worship. We'll have a brief and celebratory meeting. And then we will have a potluck lunch together. So we invite you to join us for that. You can find out more information based on your last name, what you might offer for our potluck. You can RSVP too, just to help us know how to get prepared for that time together. You can RSVP at the ministry station in the hallway or online, always at fbca2.org/connect. If you don't feel comfortable being unmasked in spaces or eating in spaces with others, we invite you still to come and wear your mask, and we'll have windows open in that space too. So we hope everybody will be able to join us for that. And lastly, in 2 weeks, we begin a new formation opportunity for adults. Teens will join one of the days called Journeys Worth Sharing. Tony Burton and Paul have been working on putting together a four-week series of members from our church sharing their story, sharing their faith story. So we hope that you will make note of that and join us for the month of May and the first week of June. Children of God, welcome. Welcome to this place of love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. God invites all of us to be part of the beloved community. God invites all of us to share in the good news. We are welcome as we are. We are loved as we are. In gratitude for all of this, let us worship the living God.
Thank you. loving God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith, help us to embrace the wisdom of your word, that we may experience these truths with intimacy and honesty, that we may feel your love deeply as we worship you today. Help us also to hold the lessons of your word in our hearts and minds through our daily living. Holy Father, we ask in this precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God for all of God's blessings to me. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will keep my promises to God. O Lord, I am your servant. You have set me free. I will offer you all my thanks and call on the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the first epistle of Peter. And if you call on the Father, who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your ancestors. But with precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of the Lord.
Is it time for the children? I think it is. I shared my bulletin. Here we go. Kiddos, come on up. Come join me up here. I have to get my stuff down here. Come on up. Perfect. Good, good. Come on up. Yes. Hey, Lyra. Good. Come have a seat. Fantastic. Hey. Here comes Finnegan. Come on up, Finnegan. Perfect. Join us, Remy. Hey, when somebody gives you a gift, what do you usually say back? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. When somebody gives us a gift, we often say thank you back. We heard today in the psalm about God giving us gifts and wondering what we can give back to God. That we give a gift, and that our gift is to say, thank you. Thank you. So I brought a really big thank you card. Look how big this card is. Have you ever given a card like this?
No.
Do you think we could send this in the mail?
No.
Well, I don't know. It might be kind of tricky to find an envelope that works. Although, you know, Pastor Heather makes envelopes, so maybe she could make us an envelope big enough for, what does it say? Thank you, God. Hey, I'm wondering if we can think of some things we can put in this thank you card. What are some things we're thankful for? I know that it's Earth Day time, and we could think about things in the earth we're thankful for, or we can think about people. I see that Allie has some ideas. Yeah, so I hear Emma saying, thank you, God, for being with us all the time and everywhere. How about that? For being with us everywhere and always. Okay, Allie, what are you thinking we can thank God for?
Thank you for making the world.
For making the world. Thank you, God, for making the world. Okay. Let's see. What else can we thank God for? Is there something in the earth, the world? What is in the world that we can thank God for? What could we thank God for? Or birds.
So they have pet birds.
Uh-huh. Have you seen any tulips lately? Oh, I love the tulips. Thank you, God, for the tulips. What else? Yeah.
I have so many lilies in my backyard.
You have so many what?
So many flowers.
So many flowers. Do you have lilies? Oh, yes, you have to be careful with cats. Mm-hmm. You don't want the cats to eat the plants. Lyra, what's something you're thankful for? Or something outside? What were you thinking? Go ahead. You have a tulip in your front garden. Thank you, God, for gardens and for tulips. Yes. And who? And for cats.
Yes.
And dogs, too. Miss Bonnie has lots of cats. She's thankful for all of them. Cats. And dogs and trees.
And thankful
thank you, God, that we live on earth. Uh-huh. Thank you, God, that we have places to throw away our trash and help us recycle. Yes, good. We have places for trash. It's important to have a whole trash system. That's something we are grateful for here, that we have a way to have our trash picked up and help us recycle. Thank you, God, for recycling.
One day, you and mommy were picking up trash at our...
You were helping pick up litter. Thank you, God, for people who care about the earth. Did you hear that? Emma was caring for the earth. She was picking up litter, so for those who care for the earth. Okay, good. How about, can we list some people? Who are some people we're thankful for? Family. Thank you, Celia. What's another?
Siblings.
For siblings. For teachers.
For school.
For school. Thank you, God, for school. Yeah.
For pickles.
Raise your hand if you love pickles. I love pickles. Whoa, lots of people love pickles. And some of us don't like them at all. Yeah. Hey, friends, look. Look, we have maybe the biggest thank you card I've ever seen. And look what you... Oh, we didn't fill... You know why we didn't fill on the other side? Because what do? When we write a thank you note, then we put our own what? Our signature, our own name, to say, hey, God, thank you. Here are all the things we're thankful for, and then we're going to sign our name so God knows it's from our hearts that we're thankful for all these things. So I'm going to give you some crayons, and we're all going to sign our names. You can put it anywhere on the card, and we might have to take turns for space and for crayons. Thank you for taking turns. Simeon, we'll wait just a second. When Lyra and Tess are done, there'll be room for you. Yeah, Finnegan, you want to put your, can you put an F on there for Finnegan? Finn, again. Good. Thank you, God, for all these things. Thank you, God, for these children. For you, Teresa. Good. Once you've written your name, would you take 3 scoots back? Make sure nobody's behind you when you scoot back.
I made a balloon.
Perfect, perfect. You made a balloon for God. Okay, yeah, we're going to make room for you, Emery. Watch in just a second. All right, make a scoot back if you're done. Tess, are you done? Ruby, are you good? Good, okay, scoot back so somebody else can put their name. Got to make sure everybody gets a chance. All right, Lyra, did you write your name? Good, Ruby, take 2 scoots back. 2 scoots back so Simeon can get in. Emma, can you take 2 scoots back? Good, good. Lyra's finishing up. You guys can put your names here. Look, let's do it right here. All right, will you repeat after me? Thank you, God, for everything on our long list. Amen. Great. Let's grab our crayons and we're going to head to church school together.
Let us begin our prayer this morning with the words of Brian McLaren. Let us weep for the world being broken apart by humans, foolish humans. Let us grieve the desecration of forest and stream, of glacier and ocean and humans like us. Let us be mindful of the children being born today in a world torn apart by humans. Let us show our children a more excellent way to walk on the earth and be human, truly human. Let us love this world we've been breaking apart, and let our love bring wholeness. Let us love one another with a compassionate heart, for it is love that makes us human. Let us weep for the world we are breaking apart, so we can love it back to wholeness. Let our hearts be stretched by great sorrow and love, so they will never contract to being less than human. Our God, let these words of lament find a deep place within us to take hold, to take root, to strengthen, encourage, and change us, that we might bring your healing and mercy and change wherever hearts are broken and afraid. Thank you for showing yourself in the ordinary, the daily, the difficult, and for giving us ears, eyes, minds, and one another to recognize you there. Thank you for each one gathered here this morning, in person, online, and for every one and every choice and blessing that has made it possible, has given us hope, has helped us to sing and pray and forgive and love and take risks, humbly trusting you. Give us courage to walk together into the promise that we can do better, do more, to be and to bring your joyful, healing love to life, abundant life. Forgive us for thinking that standing up for justice and mercy for humankind and for creation will be done by someone else. Have mercy on us. We hold in our hearts and before you these members and friends of our congregation: Marlene Francis, Jill Damon, Mary Margaret Hatt, Betty Gersler, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Lauren Bowen, Grange Burnside, Graham DePriest, Fred Van Osdahl, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Allison Lavelle, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Chris Ledyard Argus, Jackie, Jared, and Vicky. Hear now the prayers we offer in silence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
If you're able, will you now please stand for the reading of the gospel? This is a story that takes place on the evening and the afternoon of Easter Sunday. Now, on that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels, saying he was alive." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Wasn't it necessary that God's anointed should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us. It is almost evening. The day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. When they told what had happened on the road, they told how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Be seated. O God, speak to us now some fresh word. May we hear that word deeply, and may our response be true and good. Amen. Life is often said to be a journey. We see ourselves as moving through the years, the past receding behind us. We are headed toward our future and moving now through changing landscapes of experience. And our lifetime journey holds smaller other journeys within it. The journey of self-understanding, the journey of a relationship, a journey of grief, a journey of faith. 2 weeks from now, as we heard at the beginning of this hour, we will offer for adults a series of people sharing their own experiences of faith, and the series is called Journeys Worth Sharing. Yes, we are on many journeys. Is that why the scriptures are full to overflowing of stories of people on the road? Today we join one of these, and it is a journey of grief. Two travelers with tears in their eyes. Behind them, a total catastrophe. They're on a road in terrible pain, unanswerable questions toward a future that seems nothing but bleak. At the moment, they're headed for a village called Emmaus, a 7-mile distance. One of the two is named Cleopas, the other is undescribed. Could be his wife, could be anyone. In fact, the total blankness of this figure invites us to make it you or me on that road. As they walk, they're lamenting a most horrible injustice. They're expressing bitterness and heartbreak. And then a stranger comes catching up with them. May I join you? Yes. I saw you talking. What has happened? And they stop in their tracks and look at him with sadness in their eyes and say, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there?" He says, "Tell me." And so they tell him about Jesus of Nazareth, a powerful prophet, utterly good, with words and deeds that gave us hope for the world. But the men in power among us, the systems they represent, hated him, condemned, and crucified him. The travelers say, "We had hoped he was the one." Are there any sadder words? "We had hoped." They go on to say that there was a new bizarre twist that morning. Some women had gone to the grave and the body was gone, and they said they had a vision of angels. "He's risen from the dead," the angels say, and the women won't shut up about it. So the insanity of his murder. To that now comes the insanity of some delusional fanatics who say, "It's fine now." The travelers resume their journey now. Their new companion is walking beside them. We're told that this is Jesus, but they don't recognize him. So they're telling the story of Jesus to Jesus. Doesn't look like him, doesn't sound like him. He's just a stranger who asked them a question and listened as they answered. But now he begins to speak. And his subject is suffering. He reminds them of ancient poems and stories from Scripture that speak of how divine love suffers. suffers the sorrows and pain we humans inflict on each other and on ourselves, and how God's beloved must suffer with us too. For it's what love does. God's beloved can't be a conquering hero, but must suffer our human sickness with us, and only then be exalted to make the world new. The companion's words begin to stir the hearts of the two travelers to a strange longing. They want it so much to be true. What wouldn't they give for it to be true? Then there they are. They arrive at Emmaus. Goodbye then, he says to them. No, no, they say. Stay with us. The day is almost gone. It's almost dark, they say. Abide with us. And so he does. Enters into this house, and a table is set and food laid out, and then it happens. The guest becomes suddenly the host. He takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it, and suddenly their hearts unfold like flowers. This has to be him. These are not his hands. They don't look like his hands. But the way the stranger takes this harvest of the earth, and the way he lifts it gently, lovingly in blessing. The way he tears it like the breaking of a life. The way he gives it to them like the gift of his heart. Thank you. He had done this already in the wilderness on a hillside feeding multitudes. Did it the same way. He had done it again with his friends on a terrible night, the night before he died. How many other times had he done it, and now he's doing it here. Their eyes open. Christ is risen. Then he's gone. Who knows how long those two stared at each other in astonishment before one of them said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us along the way?" And at once they journeyed back those 7 miles to their friends. I hope they borrowed a horse. When they got there, they found the disciples in a state of their own celebration because Jesus had also appeared to Peter. The two from Emmaus then join with that story their own happy news of the stranger who walked with them on their hard road and spoke to them, and how they knew him in the breaking of the bread. I suppose most of us here from time to time have found ourselves in Emmaus. We came to church. Sacred words of Scripture were offered. Perhaps Christ spoke to us. And then in Holy Communion, we knew him in the breaking of the bread. every time it happens, is Easter again. Still, most of our days are spent halfway down the road to Emmaus. Maybe it is for us a road of grief or of disillusionment. Perhaps the road we have been traveling is made with angry steps or guilty steps or uncertain, tentative steps. Or maybe the road we're on now isn't so bad at all. It's for now at least a journey through pleasant landscapes of good relationships, good work, good times. But whatever the current shape of our journey, listen, Christ's visitations are everywhere. The companion walks beside us, moving at precisely our speed, and sometimes asking us questions. Sometimes speaking some truth we badly need to hear. Please, be especially open to this when your journey is difficult. If we are trudging through nights and days with broken hearts, with dreadful uncertainties, with anxieties, loneliness, frustration, it would be well to let ourselves be at least available to the possibility that divine love is our very real companion. We're not alone on the journey. Let your heart be open to the mystery of it. Let our senses be alert to the possibilities that the living one walks beside us on our road. To be sure, our companion will often be unrecognizable. In more than one of his resurrection appearances, his friends at first couldn't tell who he was. The Easter news seems to be not only that Christ is alive and at large in the world, but that he's given to wearing disguises. So pay attention to your life and what and who is around you. A friend shows love to you, and Christ is in your friend. A child comes asking a question. Christ may be asking it through her. Strangers you meet, people with ethnicities not yours, people not your age or of your social class, people who may not vote the way you do. Any or all of them may be Christ, our companion, on our journey. In our music, Christ may be singing to us. In our silences, too. Even our emptiest silences. The companion is breathing and may even whisper love to us and strength to the heart. And here is the best. To venture faith on a painful road is to make our own invitation at last to our companion of love. Stay with us. Oh, stay with us. And then we find that the living one, far more than companion, is our host. Love comes not just to accompany us and console us, but to feed us, to nourish us with new life and strength to go on with the journey, for us to take and bless and break and give, so that love's resurrection becomes our rising to the new life, sending us, whatever our journey may be, to join others in their journeys as their companions too, until we all arrive in the end at the final feast of joy with Christ himself resplendent, our glad and generous host. With gratitude, we make our gifts to God. as God's richest gifts of love have been poured out in abundance on us, let us turn to each other and offer such gifts. May the peace of Christ be with you. Dear friends, Christ is alive, and everything has changed. Go forth from here, then, to live new lives. In every circumstance, give thanks. In every place of need, pour forth your love. In every opportunity for love, be extravagant. For Christ is risen indeed, and now so are we. Alleluia. Amen.